Welcome to The Weekly, a podcast brought to you by Calvary Bible Church. I'm your host, Jay Ewing. Thanks for tuning in this week. Like always, visit calvarybible.com, click your campus, find out what's happening in your neck of the woods. Stay connected, get connected by visiting calvarybible.com. Like last week's conversation on The Weekly, we're slowing down to listen to Lindsay Billington's story of faith, how God captured her heart and her journey towards Jesus. I hope you really enjoy this conversation. It's really pleasant to sit down with her and hear her whole story. Enjoy. All right, Lindsay, it's so good to be with you, like I said. And this is going to be a really fun conversation because you have been at Calvary for 7.5 years. You are the director of high school ministry on the Erie campus.
Yep.
Your ministry is really fun to watch. You have a really awesome job.
I think it's one of the best jobs at Calvary. It's such a sweet thing that I get to do.
And you have a really interesting story here because you're a local girl.
Mm-hmm.
Been here a while. Your faith was raised here at Calvary. We're going to get to that.
Yeah.
And I think it's be really important for here at Calvary. You know, we see you all over the place. We see you, you know, on the midweek updates. We see you on the website. We see your announcements and scripture reading and all the places we see you here at Calvary. But I want to get to know you. And I want Calvary get to know you. So the first question I have for you in this podcast is, where'd you grow up?
Yeah, so I grew up like in a 5-mile, 10-mile radius of right here in Erie where we're sitting. So grew up mostly in Broomfield and Lafayette, was born in Boulder. So like I haven't left the zip code, basically.
Wow. Like, have you ever had a area
not,
code
not
that's
to, different? Not totally, not but totally. But it's been like Boulder County my whole life. So, and I still live on the Boulder County side. My husband, Nathan, and I, we're across county line. So,
yeah. That's amazing. So take us back to then. What was Lindsay like back in elementary? What are some of your childhood memories? What are some places that you would want to take us in this story?
Yeah. Childhood memories. Wow. I'm really not prepared for this. What are some childhood memories? Yeah. I grew up in Broomfield, like my early childhood years. So like I would probably take you to my street. It's like over by, I think where it's now Home Goods or like one of the at home. And so that little neighborhood, I rode my bike all around that neighborhood, played at the elementary school there. Like I did just a ton of playing in the neighborhood as a kid. And, I went to a Christian school when I was in elementary school. And, I don't know, it was a great place to go to elementary school, but I was definitely always like an academically minded kid and I really loved school. And so like, I feel like that was probably a big thing in my younger years. Like I was usually the kid that was like working ahead in class and like kind of bored and like ready for what's next. I'm ready to learn something else. I'm excited to learn. And I grew up with 3 younger siblings. So I was kind of always the oldest child. And I'm the first kid on both sides of my family too. So like I have tons of younger cousins and I'm the oldest one. So that's pretty formational.
Yeah, that's super formational to be that child in the birth order. Yeah. Cool. So where was your faith in these years? Where was your spiritual life? And you went to a Christian school, but that doesn't always guarantee. But where was your faith?
Yeah. So I mean, my extended family, I already talked about that I'm the oldest cousin and stuff, but my entire extended family are all believers, which is really cool, actually.
Yeah.
And so I feel like just growing up, it was kind of the water that I was swimming in like all areas of life. And my parents were really intentional to like introduce me and my siblings to Jesus at a young age. And, you know, I have the story of being like 5 at dinner and being like, I want to accept Jesus into my heart. And I'm sitting on my parents' lap and like praying to invite Jesus into my heart. And I think I understood the gospel like at a very basic level then in a sweet way. And so I'm super thankful just for that space that I got to grow up in.
Yeah, that's amazing. And it's also really wonderful to have that sort of tradition and blessing
of a generational faith.
Oh yeah, I think my grandparents have like prayed so many of me and my cousins into the kingdom of God. So
yeah,
it's sweet.
That's really sweet. So you were going to elementary school and you were living in Broomfield. Your faith was, growing in some ways. What were some of the very foundational views of God you think you had that sort of defined that time period?
That's a great question. Haven't gone back to my brain in those young years in a while to think about that.
We've got time.
We've got time, says Jay. So, I think for sure a loving parent. Like, I really grew up in, like, so familial images of God feel, like, really natural and, like, mostly positive to me. But I think, too, like, I definitely had a bit of the, like, rules and like God as the enforcer of rules and like watching you to see if you're going to do something good or bad, and sort of judging you based on those things. That I think that's definitely an image that was in my head.
Yeah.
So
that's a really formational image. That
yes,
was
it,
in your
yes
head.
It is. Yeah. And I mean, it's not like a wholly negative image, but yeah, it was. It was very formational, I'd say.
Yeah, we all hold tensions in our formation of right views of God and wrong views of God that keep us safe.
Totally.
That keep us functional as human beings, that shape us for better or for worse, sometimes both in the same instance. So it's not a judgment call on your faith, you know what I mean?
No, totally. And I mean, I think our pictures of God are always like expanding and changing. And that's one of the most exciting parts of life is just continuing to like be shaped in that way.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most exciting things about God and his character is that because he is the supreme being or absolute truth, he is not comfortable in letting us stay where we're at or stay in functional views. But challenges us
totally.
To a truer and truer view based upon his word, community, all those things, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what are some of the things that you really enjoyed in your childhood that, you know, you have a passion? I don't want to tell it out loud. I want you to say it, but you have a passion that's for the mountains and for a sport in the mountains. What, you know, how are those things shaped in your life?
Yeah, totally. My childhood was super fun. My dad, actually, I would say he's like a super hardworking person, but he plays as hard as he works, which is super cool. And like one of the things that I really appreciate about him. And so that meant that like, you know, I was pretty driven as a kid, but, he loved to just like take us and play with us in the mountains. As you said, you know, I love skiing, I love backpacking, I love hiking. So we did hikes and stuff as a family when I was young. And my dad from a young age took us up to, what's in Nederland? Mm-hmm. Eldora. There we go.
Yeah.
Eldora is where I learned how to ski. And, you know, that was just me and my dad for years. And then we brought along my other siblings gradually. And it was just like the most fun learning that. And it's still something that we all love to do together to this day. I was also super into gymnastics.
Really?
I can still do like a couple things that like most people can't do, but I hurt really badly after I do them. Like I think I did like a front walkover or something the other day and I was like, oh my gosh, my back, I stretched out my stomach. Like it just, everything hurt for like 15 minutes, but then I was fine.
Yeah, totally.
I'm still young enough that I can do those things and not have like long lasting negative effects.
That's so great. So yeah, I'm interested in this. I'm curious about this. Like it seems like the mountains are formative even in your spiritual life because you continue to be drawn to them. Where do you meet God in sort of these spaces and these places that you've known all your life?
Yeah, I think they are definitely these spaces at being outdoors, being especially in the mountains is like the easiest place for me to just feel like I'm in God's presence without having to like, I don't know, perform or get in a certain sort of space or do a certain sort of activity or be reading scripture or praying. When I'm out there, I just feel that I'm in God's world that he's created. And I just feel like I get to appreciate it for what it is mm-hmm. and experience what he's like just by being in it. So it's a different sort of communing with God than some of the more intentional spiritual disciplines that, you know, you might do or whatever. But yeah, I think to my dad, he always has talked about the outdoors as that kind of a space. And he said that when he's skiing, it's that quote, it's by a runner.
Eric Little.
Yeah, that he feels God's pleasure when he's skiing, just like Eric Little felt God's pleasure as he's running. And so that's something that has stuck with me. And it's just like, yeah, I feel like I'm doing something that like God created me to enjoy. And I feel connected to him in those spaces.
Yeah, I think that's a really good invitation for all of us here at Calvary, is that there is places outside of the traditional you would think we would meet God in mm-hmm. that he really delights that we step into. And some of us, most of us in Colorado, that is the mountains. That's why we're here. You know, we worship because we worship a great creator, and we see that here. We're lucky enough to see that, obviously, here in Colorado. But it's not to undervalue some of those places and spaces that you've met God in, you know, and that could be sewing. It could be playing a sport. You know, it could be hiking. It could mm-hmm. be like your dad skiing. It could be Eric Little was running.
Totally.
All these places that we've got to pay attention to, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
For God to give us health,
mm-hmm.
space to feel his presence.
Yeah.
It's really cool. Okay, so here's Lindsay. She's skiing. She's going to school. What were these teenage years? You know, you're thinking about the growth of a young woman and her faith, her life, her identity. What were some of the hardships you face, you know, in elementary going into all the way through high school?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a couple different things that stick out. One of them is like probably earlier, like tween, even, yeah, preteen, whatever years, towards the end of elementary school, I really experienced not wanting to be who God created me to be because it made other people upset or jealous or whatever. So like in fourth grade, it seems kind of silly and ridiculous now, honestly, but you know, I said that like academics were super fun for me and it was something that I naturally excelled in, but like I felt pressure from friends not to do good at school and that I couldn't be friends with them if I was smart and if I was who God basically created me to be. And I had a teacher that spoke into my life in like the fourth or fifth grade that just said, be who God has made you to be. Your identity in him is like, what he's created you to love and enjoy and be good at is a good thing. And you don't need to change that for anyone else. So that was like a really cool message that then I didn't necessarily listen to for a lot of years, but it's something that has popped up when I've reflected upon the journey that God's had me on through those earlier years. But I definitely experienced a season in like late middle school, and early high school of just not necessarily walking away from believing in God, but just holding a tension where I was like, yeah, I can like believe that God exists and like even maybe believe like intellectually that he loves me and that his grace is real, but like I'm just gonna live life however I want to. And you know, I think there are a lot of reasons for that, and some of it was, I think, honestly really good that God had me on this journey of trying life outside of what I knew he would want for me. Mm-hmm. And so there was, you know, lots of dating different boys and really finding my identity in that, and different friendships and really like not being the person that I knew God had created me to be or living the life I knew he was calling me to live. And honestly, living in that tension and feeling a ton of shame in a lot of ways in those years. So that was a big part of probably my early years. And God was so good and so faithful in that, and has brought me out the other side from that. But I think it was a season that I look back on, and I'm so glad that I had that experience of not necessarily losing my faith, but of seeing a little bit of what the world has to offer and realizing that it wasn't actually fulfilling and that it actually led to a lot of emptiness and a lot of shame and a lot of secrets that weren't actually really good for me. And I'm trying to think how to talk about this necessarily, but I guess I'll just switch to this other side of my family, which is church. And we were going to a church that was great for my years of elementary, middle school, and then kind of late middle school, right when I was transitioning into public school, we stopped going to church. So I kind of stopped having those voices in my life other than in my family. And then in my like sophomore year, I got really intentional about coming to Calvary. I got invited by a friend my freshman year and started coming. And that's really where I like met Jesus again and met Jesus in a place of knowing I was walking away from him in a lot of ways in my life. And being drawn back to him through those relationships and through really understanding the gospel and how it applied to my actual life and my actual sin that I was actively engaging in at that point in my life.
Yeah. So there's a, even though it does sound painful and hard, there seems to be a grace in it that you experience those things within even your own protection of your family and protection of a parental voice and a family that would keep you somewhat safe in that moment too.
Yeah, I think that's huge. And I look back on that, I'm super thankful. There was a transformational time for me, which was our Ironman trip actually at Calvary. And I'm, it's like, I feel like I need to backtrack a bunch because, you know, I started coming to Calvary, not because of my family, because of friends. My family was still disconnected from like traditional church. And I ended up on an Ironman about like a year and a half later, which is our spring break retreat. But that's really when I met the Lord and met him in a new way as like, I don't know, more of a, I don't just understand the gospel, but I understand it for myself. I see my personal brokenness like in very significant and distinct ways. And I was encouraged to confess that sin in community to the Lord. And then God really prompted me to like bring some of the hidden sins that I had been really feeling a ton of shame about into the light with my parents. And that was a really, really cool thing because they demonstrated God's grace to me in such a sweet way. And I'm so, so thankful for that. And I'm honestly, I'm so encouraged because I know there's so many families here at Calvary that are still doing that for their kids, even when their kids are wandering in different ways. So it's a really huge gift that I know that the Lord blessed me with, and I'm super thankful for my parents in that season and just the grace that they showed me. So,
yeah, I honestly, Lindsay, I can see, not knowing this story until now, I can definitely see how that's really a part of your ministry here with the high school students you work with. I see you can hold the tension of letting them not fall away because you would never want to be that person, but you can let them make some mistakes, have the chance to grow and to sort of define their own faith in their growth journey, and also partner with parents in helping them do that too. You know, that's a really beautiful part of your own story that is in your ministry now.
Totally.
How interesting is that?
Yeah, it is. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool that I get to enter into those spaces with kids and families. And I do have a lot of just like hope and in what God can do in those different circumstances, since that's a huge part of my own journey. And I'm really, really thankful that still gets to be a part of my life. I'm reminded of my own story so often because of that. So,
yeah, it reminds me that God does not use, he does not use some material that we think is shameful or hurtful, because he uses all of it. You know what I mean? He uses it all for his glory, for your connection to stories later on in your life. And it's just another great reminder of that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely, it's a sweet story, and everyone has different stories, but it's a really cool connection point for me in the ministry I get to do.
Yeah. There's nothing he doesn't use, I guess I should say. That's
absolutely
the clarity of that.
Yeah. No matter how dark or far away we were from the Lord, he seems to weave that in and really use it in powerful ways. So
yeah, no doubt. Okay, so here you are. You've arrived at Calvary. Who was your youth minister back then? And sort of where were your early years of being here at Calvary like?
Yeah, so Gary Osborne was my youth pastor when I showed up back in 2008, maybe. I think 2008. We didn't have a building at that point. The Erie campus had kind of just launched, and we were meeting at the high school, and I had a friend that invited me, and then a different person that I met the first time I came to the high school ministry who didn't know my name, but he kept seeing me at school, and he just said, hey, come to WNT, and WNT is the name of the high school ministry Wednesday night thing. If you don't know, it's still called that.
It is. It's a historic name here,
yes,
around here.
Very historic. So, yeah, that's kind of... that's kind of the setting of that time. So we were meeting in home groups, and I showed up, and it was, I think we played Pass the Pigs. Have you ever played Pass the Pigs?
No, I have not.
They're like these little pigs that are like dice, and depending how they land, you get different points. They can land all these different ways.
Yeah.
Anyways, I have a memory of playing Pass the Pigs, and I don't remember much else from that night other than that it was in a living room, and I felt super welcomed into community, and it just felt very natural just going into someone else's house, and we ate brownies, and hung out, and that's I got great. Invited back by a random dude at school. His name's Waldo Vega, for anyone that's
gosh,
interested.
Waldo.
He's not great at names. I'll throw him under the bus right now, but he's great at recognizing faces and inviting and being persistent. And so it's pretty cool actually to think back on how God even used that to bring me back to the WNT community.
That's so good, Lindsay. That is so good. So what were your early days like? What were you involved in here at Calvary? How'd you see sort of your story with God unfold under the protection of being in a youth group and in community and these high school years?
Yeah. So started showing up consistently and ended up on the Ironman trip about a year after I had shown up for the first time. And God really transformed my life in a significant way through that trip. And just understanding, like I said, the gospel personally and just beginning to walk out in some different difficult steps of obedience that the Lord really showed me that I was to do. And it wasn't an easy season, but I think, the Lord really started to like produce fruit in my life that I could not have produced on my own. And
that's right.
That was just really cool to see. And like, I still look back on that season of just the significant change that happens. Sometimes it feels very incremental in different seasons, but that's a time when I look back and I'm like, man, God was so at work and doing things that like shouldn't have been happening in my life. And so it was just an exciting season of growth, being a part of small groups at the high school ministry, and then slowly starting to kind of connect more on Sunday mornings, coming to church, being a part of the larger body. But probably the next big move, I guess, was when I look back, it feels like I kind of got voluntold by Gary. Actually, a lot of points in my Calvary journey feel a little bit like that. But he was like, hey, you should do this. You should like help out at middle school ministry.
Aww.
For a season. And so he was leading both middle and high school at the time. And so I jumped in and started doing ministry as like a junior in high school with the middle school students, which that's kind of a thing that continues to this day where we have high school students investing in middle school students, which is awesome. But that was a huge part of kind of my, I guess, entry into ministry. Mm-hmm. And really falling in love with especially student ministry at a really young age. So
yeah, sounds like you became a disciple maker really quickly.
Yeah. Yes. That's the language we would definitely use at Calvary. Gary was like, you're following Jesus. It's time for you to help other people follow Jesus.
That's right.
You're one step along in the journey, turn around, help someone else do it.
Right.
So that's been a really cool part of my journey here.
What early gifts do you see in that season in yourself? You know, thinking back with a lot of wisdom and growth in your journey now, what do you see some of your gifts that flourished early on?
Yeah, that's a good question. I feel like people have always told me that I was a leader, mm-hmm. but I think that was like one of the first like places where I was like, oh, I actually am a leader and I can actually kind of embrace that part of who God has created me to be. And other people are receiving that, and it's a positive thing, right? As an oldest child, you're like, I'm a leader and everyone hates me because I'm like bossy yeah. or I'm like, you know, trying no to doubt. Control my younger siblings or whatever. But I feel like that was a place where that was affirmed and like molded in a positive way. So I see that. And I really do love to just encourage people. Like I love helping people just like see something in themselves that they weren't able to see before and try to call that out and try to develop it a little bit. And I feel like I have so much growing still to do in that, but that's like a heart that I have. And I see that from that time starting to kind of come out. So
no doubt.
Yeah.
Your story is so meaningful and so deep. And I just love hearing how and the ways in which God can use seasons to shape you and to mold us right into his image. It's really cool.
Thanks. Yeah, it is sweet. God's so good.
So you went from high school, you're a Boulder County kid in the area. What'd you do for college and how did you sort of come to that conclusion? And what are some of the landscapes that we would find Lindsay in her college years?
Yeah, my college experience was different than I thought it would be. I honestly didn't know what I wanted to study. Like, I'd always been good at school, good at lots of different subjects, like I've said, but I had no clue what I was, like, actually excited to learn about. And so I thought, okay, I'll probably just go to a Christian university, but I really wanted to get out of Colorado. You know, I've always kind of had a travel bug and like wanted to go explore lots of different places. And that did not happen. My very wise parents counseled me not to do that and not to go into a ton of debt for school. And so I ended up going to Colorado Christian University here in Lakewood. And I got to eventually figure out what I wanted to study there. But I studied theology and business in college and had to try a bunch of different classes before I landed on double majoring in those two things. But yeah, college was a great season for me. I did college a little bit differently because I lived at home the first year. Then I lived on campus. I actually took a year off of school, traveled, came back, and that's when I started working at Calvary. It was in the second half of college. So my college years were, I don't know, a bit chaotic, and each year was really different as far as what life looked like. So freshman year, you could find me on the long bus ride from Lafayette all the way down to Lakewood and back 3 hours a day. Every day I was like on that bus doing homework and stuff. So that's what that looked like. And then got to experience really sweet community at CCU my sophomore year. And then that junior year, I was in India. So you could see the Himalayas in the background if you were to see a scene from my life.
Yeah.
That year.
So what were, okay.
Jay's learning all sorts of things.
Yeah, I knew you were involved in missions, so a little bit. But what was India like and why were you there? And sort of what were some of the lessons you learned in that season?
Yeah, I feel like I have to backtrack.
Okay,
a little bit. Backtrack to like back in high school. Mm-hmm. There's so many things when you know. And I haven't been alive that long. So and I'm like, there's all these details that I left out. But my dad actually took me to Zambia when I was a sophomore, I think.
So in that critical year of Calvary life,
mm-hmm.
falling in love with Jesus, trusting Jesus.
Yeah. It's actually right before that.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. It was kind of still in that season of like, I think I love Jesus. Not really sure. Not going to live a life that honors Jesus, but my dad took me on this trip, me and my sister. My mom let us all go off, and she's always been so good at supporting that stuff. But my dad had been involved with this organization that works with orphans in various parts of the world, but one of the primary places has been Zambia. They've established some different orphan homes throughout Zambia, so we got to go and visit and put on like a vacation Bible school kind of thing, And so that was really cool, just introduction to missions. And I had some other really short, like, weekend experiences with my whole family, actually, in, like, Juarez for a couple Christmases. And I just had God really give me a desire to, like, see what he's doing in other parts of the world, to join alongside that. And so I really wanted to take a year off in college and experience a little bit longer term. What would it be like to actually live in another place for a season and, like, do ministry alongside people that actually live there and are part of that culture? And just wanted to kind of see what that would be like. And so that's what led me to take a whole year off of school. And then I ended up going with YWAM to India and did my, it's called a discipleship training school there. And it was there for about 4 months. And then we did outreach after that. So I was in Thailand and Cambodia the next semester.
Wow.
And it was just, it was a great experience overall. It was a mixed bag.
Yeah, totally.
For sure. But God definitely used that in a lot of really sweet ways. It really clarified, I think, my call to ministry in some way. I just think one of the coolest things about it was meeting all these other Christians who are young from all these other countries, primarily from India, and just seeing, like, what God was doing in their lives and really just allowing the gospel to transform us as, like, a really diverse community of people from, I mean, diverse cultural backgrounds and even diverse backgrounds within, like, what does your faith in Christianity look like? Really different experiences,
right,
and brought us together, and we had to learn how to minister to people together, which was really cool and really fun.
That's really cool. I'm really curious about where your calling ends up in all of this story. Where's your calling to, like, do full-time ministry or to play a part like you're playing right now here in the kingdom of God?
Yeah, that's a really good question that I don't feel like there's one moment or even that it's necessarily, like, fully, I don't know, finalized even at this point in life. I honestly feel like I ended up in ministry because God gave me this excitement about what is he doing around the world, in the world. And this was the place where I was introduced to Jesus. And I feel like God just kept giving me opportunities and open doors. And I just kept stepping into them. And in that, I feel like I've more and more fully embraced, like, I'm going to be doing ministry, whether or not I'm in a ministry job, even for my whole life, like, what I'm going to be doing, I'm going to think about it as ministry. And I feel a lot of openness, honestly, like, even in the future to, like, what ministry is going to look like. Could still be overseas, could be with students for a really long time, could be moving into adult ministries. Like, I don't know what it's going to look like, but I feel after just, like, a lot of seasons of God giving me opportunities, like, this is where he has me, and I feel good about it, and I feel really open to what he might call me to specifically in the future.
I think this technology that we're using today will be so interesting for you to come back to this conversation and listen to yourself someday, you know, 20 years down the road, even next summer, and, like, what has changed, what has grown, what has been left behind in your story. It'll be really fascinating, right? For a personal.
Totally.
For your personal.
Totally.
Yeah. Reflection.
Yeah. Calling. Feels like a complicated, it's a complicated word.
It is really complicated.
Right? Some people have a moment. For me, it's much more of a journey of small steps of, I feel like, obedience and just going where God has opened doors.
Which is really interesting because that's sort of how your step into faith was too. If I'm, like, listening to your story correctly, it seems like a bunch of, they're really similar in some ways.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about it like that, but perhaps.
Perhaps, yeah. So you go to India, you come back. How did you land at working at Calvary and being here?
Yeah, I was actually literally just telling this story to one of our newer members on staff, Brody Young, who's in the student ministry at the Thornton campus. And I was just telling him today at lunch how this happened. But I had volunteered before I went off to India in the high school ministry. So I had been a small group leader when we were still doing home groups.
So Gary didn't let you get away or very far.
Oh, no. Like he sort of spoke this into existence in some ways, like my senior year of high school. He was like, you're going to come back and intern for me. But even before that happened, he was like, you should be a small group leader. And do you need gas money to like even get up here when I was living down in Lakewood for a year and stuff like that. So he was very committed to me being part of it, which was cool. But when I got back, I was looking for potentially a ministry job, but wasn't really like landing on anything that I was super interested in, because I knew I wanted more experience in ministry after my time with YWAM overseas. Like, I knew that that's something that I was interested in, but I hadn't really been finding anything that seemed like a good fit. And I was like, maybe I should just like take a random job for the school year to just make it through junior year. And so I had this day, Jay, you're not gonna believe this, I had this day where I had been talking to the like Colorado Christian University employment office, whatever. They had basically found me a job working at a local insurance agency as like an admin. Like, I don't even know.
Yeah.
Answering their emails, doing data entry. I have no idea what it was going to even be anymore. And I had the day to get back to them. Like, it was like, I talked to them in the morning. They were like, this afternoon, we need to know by like 4 p.m. or something like that. And in that window, I got like a call from Gary saying, hey, do you want to intern at Calvary for the next year or two? And I was like, oh my gosh, thank you. Yes. And it made the decision, like God made it the most obvious decision for me to say yes and step into it, because it was like this just like, yeah, this will pay the bills and get me through this year kind of a thing.
Right.
To like, oh, this like intimidates me and excites me and feels like I don't know what the heck I'm doing, but like this feels like what God is calling me into in this season.
That's amazing.
That's how it started.
That's so cool. That's
seven and a half years ago.
So you became an intern at Calvary. What are your first intern years like? What are some horror stories, or what are some like great, you know, like moments where God just was super kind to you early in ministry?
Yeah, wow, that was like a multifaceted question. Totally. Basically, you're saying, never share anything you want. Question, share what you want about
the first season. Question.
Let's think. Well, okay, anyone who's ever worked for Gary knows he just has lots of ideas all the time. And so as like an intern in the student ministry, you get to be the person that like has to make his crazy ideas happen. Yeah. You're like, all right, let's figure this out. Like,
no doubt.
A foam machine. We need a foam machine at this dance party. It's going to be awesome, or whatever it is. We need to like create a crazy experience on the Ironman trip. So we like booked a mud run for like every kid that had to like do this 5K mud run, and just like the ideas that he has that you get to be a part of bringing to life. So there's a lot of that stuff. But I think I really didn't, even though I knew God was calling me into some sort of ministry in a way, I felt excited about that. I wanted to learn more. I didn't feel like I had anything really special to offer. So I think hopping in, it felt like, oh my gosh, like what am I doing? Teaching felt super intimidating, and like really everything about leading a group of students just felt so intimidating to me in a lot of ways. Leading leaders was like, how am I supposed to lead adults? Like, I'm just a college kid. And so I feel like God met me a lot in those spaces and gave me the encouragement that I needed from other people.
That's right.
And just like grew me in a lot of ways. And it was a space where I just got to learn a ton. And I got to see God using the things that I was doing in small and big ways, which was just sweet.
Yeah, so. That's really sweet. Okay, so let's turn the corner here. You're married now. You're married to a wonderful man, Nate. How'd that come along, and sort of what's that story all about?
Yeah, so that started, well, our relationship didn't start, but our meeting of each other started right away when I started working at Calvary, actually. Okay. So We met on a service day at the Gaskins house because we were thanking them for their investment in student ministry over the years. And we had both gotten assigned to remove a bush. And so Nate, he was just entering in as a small group leader for the first time. And I had just started interning, like it was weeks into my internship. And we were removing this bush together and just got to chatting. So that's when we met each other. I had no idea, but at the time Nate was like, oh, that's the kind of person I want to marry. Like that was in his mind at the time, but I was dating someone else.
Complicated.
Yeah. Complicated. So that was fun. Poor Nate had to like hang on for a full year. And then like about a year and a couple months later, we started dating. And so our relationship and the high school ministry have always gone together, honestly. And it's been something that we're both excited about. From the beginning days when I feel really unmotivated, he just loves students so well. It keeps me motivated. So,
yeah, it's a great partnership.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Of the gospel.
Totally.
Yeah. So what are some of your favorite things that Nate and you have done? How many years have you been married now?
4 years.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's so much fun.
We're like, I like to compare marriages to like humans. So we're like a 4-year-old human in our marriage. So we're like starting to like get some basic competencies down. Like we can walk, we can maybe put our shoes on and get dressed and that's brush really my teeth, whatever,
I've
you know.
I've never heard anything like that. That's hilarious. That's so funny.
We're early in the journey.
Yeah, but so
but
what
it's
are you
really good.
So what's your favorite stories? What's some of your favorite things that you've done?
Favorite things. Oh, man. I mean, we love to adventure together. Mm. So even when we were dating and a part of student ministry together, this was cool. We got invited to be a part of the wilderness ministry here at Calvary when it was kind of first getting started, and we became guides in that. And so backpacking has actually become like one of our shared loves in life.
That's super interesting. That's super cool. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. That's honestly one of the most empowering ministries I've ever been a part of. I feel like I learn so much every time that I guide a backpacking trip. But anyways, so backpacking together, a lot of my favorite memories with Nate are backpacking or traveling. But we got to do this really cool backpacking trip in Nepal.
Wow.
When we were about a year into marriage.
I remember when you left.
Yeah. Yeah, it was awesome. We did this base camp trek, basically. So you just hike up to the base of a mountain called Annapurna.
That's one of the top 13 peaks in the world.
I think it's the 10th tallest.
It's the 10th tallest, yeah.
10th tallest peak.
And it resides at what, 27,000 feet or something?
I think it's in the 26.
Okay, 26, okay.
I think.
I love the peak, so that's why I know
and
that
it's
name.
One of the most deadly peaks.
Oh, that's
not
so
to
awful.
Not to hike to the base camp.
Yeah.
What we did was super tame, but like it was just an incredible.
So
trip.
How many miles did you have to hike?
I think it was like a 50-mile.
Whoa! How many trip. Days?
6 days.
Wow.
I think, yeah.
To base camp and back.
Yep, to base camp and back was about 50 miles, and you start really low elevation, probably like 2,000 feet, and you get to hike all the way up to about 14,000 feet. So it's a lot of elevation gain.
That's amazing.
But nothing like too crazy for Coloradans as far as like your ending elevation.
Yeah,
so.
Totally. But that's a really fun story.
Yeah, it was great. That's a favorite memory for sure.
Yeah.
Just fun adventure. And then recently we got to hike the Maroon Bells, which was another great just trip. I'm like, that's just me thinking recently.
You did the loop, right, on Maroon Bells?
Yes, it's called the 4-pass loop. So got that's to really do fun. That. It was awesome.
It does seem like y'all are about to venture stage.
We love it. And, you know, we don't have kids yet, so it's like it's super fun to just get these adventures in. We want to have kids someday, but it's like just been the best to be in a season where we're free to do a lot of those fun things together and with students and with friends. And so we love it.
It's really interesting, again, that your connection between how you meet up with God and your adventures and your marriage end up in the same place, which is the wilderness.
Totally.
In the mountains.
Yeah, God is good. He's given us this shared love, but it's also a place where we, yeah, just meet with him and also connect with each other.
Yeah. And I'm sure find rest in a lot of ways. Oh, yeah. Even in a 50 miler, you're resting somehow.
Oh, we slept so well on that trip. Okay. This is another fun fact about this trek. If you ever want to go do this Annapurna base camp trek, you don't have to like carry a tent like you do in Colorado. What? So you just hike to these tea houses and you don't carry your food. So they feed you and you have like a room that you get to sleep in.
Oh.
So it was like backpacking here, except way more restful. So that's a perk for
that's
sure.
That's cool. It's like one of the European guided backpacking trips type style.
Totally.
Super awesome. Okay. So you're here at Calvary, you're the director of high school ministry. What do you see God doing with the high school ministry here at Calvary now and for the future? What do you see coming?
That's a good question. Nice and broad. Man, God is doing so many different things, I think, in the high school ministry, because there's so many different kids and so many different personalities and backgrounds that people are coming from. But I think definitely it feels like in this season with where our culture is at and just what kids are experiencing, like they need a consistent safe place to just be people who are maybe following Jesus, maybe questioning what it looks like to follow Jesus, but they just need a safe place to be where they're at in that and be pointed to the truth. But it really does feel like this is a place where kids who want to follow Jesus are getting a safe place to discuss what does this mean and what does this mean in our cultural complexities and with the issues that different teenagers are struggling with their sexuality, with gender. I mean, so many different things, but this is a place where we want them to get to process what does it look like to live as a Christian in some of these messy places. And we're, I think, really seeing kids learn how to read scripture too. That's one of our goals. And so I'm excited just even in the last like year, Chris and I together and even the guys from the other campuses were really focused on that. And it's been cool to see students learning to read the Bible on their own and just being shaped by it, being shaped by the story. That's the top of my brain right now.
Yeah. No. Cool.
So
cool. What do you hope to leave behind when it's all said and done here at Calvary, not necessarily in your life, but here at Calvary? What do you really hope to be known as you think about the things that you're leaving behind now imprinting?
Oh man. Yeah. I really hope that students see that God can meet anyone and use anyone. I hope that they don't see me as anybody special, but just a person that's trying to follow Jesus, just like them. And I hope that they see that their lives can be used in incredible ways for the kingdom. So I think that's really simple, but that would be a core thing that I would hope that they would just see Jesus at work in me, which means I need to be following Jesus, abiding in Jesus closely, and that keeps me motivated in that in a lot of ways, just because that's what I want students to see. I want them to see God shaping me, God forming me, and know that that can be their story too, no matter where they're at.
Lindsay, I can't thank you enough for what you're doing here, how you're shaping Calvary culture, how you're shaping the next generation disciple, how you're sharing your story with us. Like, it's so wonderful to hear all the places God has brought you through and to, what he's doing with your calling, what he's doing with your marriage and your ministry. It's just really fun to get a sneak peek in, even in this short time.
Thanks, Jay. It's been fun.
Yeah. Hey, Calvary, we're so grateful that you've listened in today. Like always, if you want to reach out to us, if you want to reach out to Lindsay, you can go to calvarybible.com/staff and find her staff photo. And there you can also find her email. Let her know what you thought about this episode, or if you have questions about your own faith and your own spiritual journey, you can always write us here at theweekly@calvarybible.com. We're so grateful. Lindsay, I can't say it enough. I'm so thankful that Calvary's going to listen to this story. So grateful.
Thanks.
And thankful for it.
Thanks for having me.
Calvary, thanks for listening in. I hope you're having a wonderful summer. We have so many stories happening this summer. This is called The Calvary Conversation. It's a batch series of conversation of people of Calvary and sort of what God's been up to in their lives over a long period of time. Thanks for listening. We will see you next week, my friends.
Bye.